Good afternoon again. Last Tuesday, there were a number of us, over 100 or so, that gathered here as we explore a little bit about our history as a church and those things that were important to us, things that may have been painful, but also those things that were very joyful to us. And we've left those on the wall, so if you're wondering what those things were on the wall, this was a timeline over here where people put postal notes on things that were meaningful for them as part of their journey, as part of this church. And over here, we had a survey that we did, and there's the compilation of each of those feedback that we got. Let me invite you, if you haven't already done so, to over the barbecue or before the barbecue, just peruse that and just see and hear what others within our fellowship are talking about in regard to our journey so far. This afternoon, the transition team actually met and we had a conversation about the things that we've been learning, not only from the other night, but from our own history and some data that we've collected all together. And it's giving us a little bit of way forward, some things that we will plan to do to bring some closure to some areas in our life of our church. And to release us and to help us to move on. And so there'll be some things we'll do over the coming weeks to address that. The other thing is that in terms of understanding who we are today, we're planning to do the National Church Life Survey. Our tentative date at the moment is on the 25th. It was going to be the 2nd of July, but we've moved it so it's before the school holidays. Just got to talk to the NCLS people tomorrow to make sure that that's doable. And the plan is that as part of our services on the 25th of June, we're going to be asking people to complete a survey. It can be done online. It also can be done by hand. And for those who can't be here on that day, we'll be able to give you the link to do it directly from wherever you might be. And we'll keep it open for the week so that people may be able to fill it in during the week, even if people may not be regular attenders here, but are part of our ministries or our Bible study groups, they can fill it in as well. So that will give us an opportunity to hear from you and get an understanding of who we are as a church today, as we then can move on to consider about where we believe God is taking us into the future. So as we come to the Word of God tonight, let me just lead us in prayer. Father, we open our hearts and our minds and our spirits to you, that we ask that you might, that it is you, your spirit, that will speak into our lives. And Father, as you prompt us, as you speak into us, as you stir our own hearts, as you encourage us, Father, we pray that we will be responsive to what we hear that you are prompting and saying into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, over these past few weeks, I've been quite challenged, but also encouraged by what I've heard about how God has used ordinary people like you and I to touch the lives of others through mission, both locally and globally. You know, we've heard some of the work that God has been using through people who he's called to work in to various parts of Asia, in Ukraine, in Lebanon, and for some of them, it has required learning whole new languages and cultures so they can effectively speak into the lives of others. We've updated ourselves on some of the projects that we support of the Lighthouse in Cambodia and the pastors that we're training in Rwanda. But also those of us who are similarly called across the street into our neighbourhoods, like those who have just, that we heard from last week. In regard to Hope Street Ministry there in the inner city and around Woolloomooloo. Now this afternoon, as we join together following our month of mission focus, I want you to take a brief look at Jesus' statement when he says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." And the point that I want to emphasize this afternoon is what follows in John 15 and verse 5, When Jesus says, he who remains in me and I in him, the same bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, the strength is in the connection, our relationship to Jesus, and in community together with each other through being part of his church. And working together in the unity of God's Spirit, we are able to accomplish all that God would have us to be and to do. There is nothing we can accomplish, we cannot accomplish, if God wants us to do that, because his Spirit is what enables us. You know, back in chapter 4, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, in chapter 14. And he then goes on to spend time teaching his disciples about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, who will be with them forever, and who will be in them, and who will teach them all things, and will give them peace and power to do all things. What wonderful, wonderful news. And then he continues on into this chapter to prepare his disciples, knowing that they have the power of the Spirit of God in their lives to move forward into the future. Now, the people of Israel knew all about vines and vineyards. You see, they knew the secrets of proper planting and grafting and pruning. They also knew the responsibilities of keeping a vineyard, that when plants fail to produce, it's up to the keeper of the vineyard to dig them out. Because after all, they're not there just for show. Unless the vines and the branches bear fruit, they're just taking up valuable space. And so the keeper of the vineyard would do everything possible to plant choice vines and to cultivate them and nurture them so that in time he would enjoy the fruits of his labor. Now, when Judy and I were living in Orange, we became quite familiar with the farming practices of the local orchards and vineyards, so I can appreciate what Jesus is describing here. This is Mortimer's wines. You're probably not surprised, some of you, but the quality and the preparation of the soil is really important. And it can actually take up to 7 years before the vine bears any fruit. Vines can also last up to around 125 years, though the world's oldest vine was actually planted in the 17th century. And you can get up to 40 clusters of grapes per vine. And then dormant branches are often used to plant new stock. Now, it didn't take much for the Hebrews to draw this analogy, because you see, they saw the vineyard as being the people of Israel and God as the vine dresser who plants the vines according to his will and prunes them to make them healthy and strong and fertilizes them and waters them to see that they grow. And the people enjoyed the protection and the providence of the vine dresser, knowing that he expects them to bear fruits of righteousness to the glory of his name. See, this was a picture that the Israelites to whom this was originally spoken were very familiar. But sadly, though, Israel was often depicted in the Old Testament as a failed vine. You see, God designed humanity to be connected and to be nurtured by him. The idea of God's people as branches connected to him as the vine highlights the deep and the wonderful relationship that God wants with his people. So for the disciples, listening as Jesus speaks these now famous words. The idea of God's people being connected to the vine as branches wasn't a new one. And there's a few things that we learn about God here. First, it's God who does the planting. You know, just as a vineyard doesn't magically appear. We're here on this earth by God's design. Now think about that. We're not here by accident. Every one of you is a child of God, created in God's image. And you've been put here for a special meaning and purpose. God even says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." Now, I want us for a moment to consider the implications of that. I mean, who we are, and to a large extent what we are, is often a product of when and where we were born, the circumstances of our surroundings, the genealogy of our ancestors. And I've thought about this on a number of my trips overseas to different mission contexts, where people are quite unlike my own upbringing. Children in many of those places experience life very differently than children here in Australia. They speak different languages, they eat different foods, they learn the folk ways of a different culture. And I wouldn't say that their ways are any worse or better than mine. They're just different. And that difference at times can be quite profound, because it lies at the heart of everything we think and say and do for the rest of our lives. Yet for those who are also living out a faith that is connected to Jesus, I have always found a profound personal connectedness, especially when we share in worship. Even though we mightn't have a common language or a similar way of worshiping. And God has called them to serve Him in just the same way as He's called us. Now apply that to where you are in your life today. And consider the possibility that where you are now is of no accident. That God has placed you here intentionally to serve a specific purpose in the building of His kingdom here on earth. Today, through the work of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, we continue to reach out so that more might experience that same life-giving relationship with God that most of us already enjoy. In this spirit, ask yourself, what would God have me to do with the freedom I've inherited just by being born or able to live here in Australia? The privileges that I've had in having a good education, the opportunities for self-fulfillment, the abundance of material resources at my disposal. You see, the point is this. It is God who plants. And those whom God has planted in this time and place, it's not for us to take God's blessings for granted or to lavish them on ourselves, but to use them faithfully to the glory of God's name. It is God who plants. Jesus' message to his disciples in John 15:5, he who remains in me and I in him, the same bears much fruit. For apart from me, he can do nothing, was one of relationships. A deep connection between God, the Creator, and his creation. And in these very few words, Jesus draws us or calls us to draw close to him while assuring us that he will do the same to us. And as we depend on him, something miraculous happens. We bear fruit. And fruitfulness is a major idea in this passage. It actually occurs 7 times in the first eight verses of John 15. Elsewhere in the New Testament, we find that fruit is a metaphor for a number of things. People wonder faith, character, righteousness and good works, good speech, service, praising God. The fruit in the vine imagery here in John 15 seems to represent everything that is the product of effective prayer in Jesus' name, including obedience to Jesus' commands, experience of Jesus' joy, love for one another, and witness to the world. It would seem that God's intention is that this relationship be something which develops and grows and is shared. Because at the moment, approximately 42% of the people on earth have little or no chance to hear the message of Jesus in a way that makes sense to them. And that number is increasing in our own culture. The passage also tells us that God, just as God plants, God prunes. And pruning is necessary for the health and the vitality of the plant. I know from my own gardening experience, unfruitful branches will drain trees and vines of their vitality and ability to grow. And left to their own devices, plants and trees will grow randomly in all kinds of directions. The house that Judy and I own in Jerrigong, the original house which we knocked down to build our current house, had lots of plants in our gardens which we needed to regularly prune to keep under control and healthy. But there was one plant we constantly had to cut back: wisteria. And that vine grew so quickly that if we didn't prune it quite regularly, because it went through the whole front of our house, it would take over the whole front of the house, find its way into the eaves and the roof and even into the house itself. And the better we pruned it, the more wonderful was the display of flowers. But what a job to keep it in control. You see, pruning is necessary to ensure proper growth. I find it sometimes can get more painful as you get older. God prunes, and often the pruning is painful. And times God needs to do that to us individually, and other times he needs to do that to a community of faith or to a ministry to allow the rest of the plant or plants to flourish. And if we don't allow God to prune, then we will prevent the flourishing that God wants to give. We don't always get what we want. Things don't always work out the way we planned. Yet through it all, we become stronger and more resilient. It's part of the spiritual and our spiritual and our personal formation. You know, God has plans for us. And it's not, and ironically, we find that our strength is as much a part, a product of our failures as well as our successes. That it's not the pleasures of life, but sometimes it's the pain that most often proves to be the medal of strong character and lasting faith. And Jesus further reminds us here that without him we can do nothing, nothing of real eternal value. Now that can be a little hard to hear at times in all our striving, in all our hard work, and all our great ideas and strategies and plans. They mean very little if God isn't at the center. And yet Jesus' message is clear. Without the vine, the branches will wither and die. And whether we're chatting to our neighbour across the street in suburban Australia, or over a bowl of rice in Cambodia, or ugali in Rwanda, we partner with God in his vast plan for salvation as we share our faith in him. God's greatest gifts for any person is a life-changing relationship with Jesus. And God's transformational power is most often evident through individuals sowing seeds of hope and love and faith and acceptance. Our focus as followers of Christ is not just converting others, but on being a witness to others through living a life of faithfulness of God in word and deed. And this is centered on how we understand our identity as being children of God and remain connected in him. You see, back in verse 4, Jesus says, "Remain in me and I remain in you." No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And it is through showing genuine love and concern that doors will open for fruitful conversation. And most often, you know, it's in the little things rather than the bigger things that bring about the fruit. There are smaller steps and faithful individuals that allow God to bring about transformation. But it includes being consistent over time and direction. Because the overarching value to transformation is placing emphasis on God's love and hope and acceptance. To grow in love of God, of people of the world, in the community in which we have been placed. It is through loving God and others that the insights of transformation will flow. And people will see and understand the wrongs and sins of their lives that maybe need to be transformed. There's no ready-made formula, as this is an organic process. It's about being connected to the Father and to the Son and the Spirit. And the small seeds of love and hope and acceptance we sow will bring a flow of transformation. Little acts of love and kindness will have a transformative effect. We need to remain connected with God. And people, and through sowing small seeds of hope that will bring the kingdom of God. And God's vision is far bigger than what we can see, but he can take the very small seeds and bring transformation, very small steps. Because you see, God not only plants, God not only prunes, but he also provides. God will be with us now and always to provide every grace we need for a full and abundant life. And that's his promise. All God asks in return is that we abide in him, that we live and work together in the unity of his Spirit. And so it appears that if we're connected with the vine, not bearing fruit isn't an option. The overflow of God's love and work in our lives will show glimpses of God and bring to life the message of Jesus to those who are ready to hear. And this is the point in which I want to close. From time to time, we're tempted to go off on a tangent and just do our own thing. We don't get much accomplished when we do that. It's only when we work together in accordance with God's will can we reach our potential and live faithfully as the disciples of Jesus. The strength is in the connection, our relationship with God, and subsequently our relationship to each other through the community of faith, the church, which is the body of Christ in the world today. And remember that producing fruit isn't always immediate. It often takes time as we build the relationships. Even in the last week or so, looking at some work of some missions, and I was looking at one particularly in Indonesia, that it took some of those missionaries in these new places decades of faithful work. There seemed to be very little happening. And then all of a sudden, this great growth and revival kind of works takes off because they've been investing in the leaders and the locals who will be the ones who will be crucial to the future. Another example is, I work as a chaplain in the NRL, one of the NRL teams. I went involved, rugby league is the one code of football I'd never played. I was a sports teacher, so I did coach a bit, but I chose to get involved in rugby league because when I got into that in that area 31 years ago, there was one Christian in that whole code, Brad Mackay. 2019, the NRL and the Players Association did a survey about a whole range of areas, but included spiritual questions to all the players that play NRL in 2019. 42% indicated they're connected to a faith community. Don't hear that, do you? 42%. And they're not all Pacifica players. Because in my own club, I've got four full-on Christians in the team. One only is Pacifica. One's Lebanese and two are Aussie. It may take a lot of years for the fruit. And you might not be the same one that's going to be there that whole time before that happens. Because you may want to hand it over to further generations. And sometimes the fruit is not what I will pick, but it will be others who will follow me that I've invested in will pick. But it wouldn't have happened if I didn't invest in the first place. So friends, don't get discouraged when you don't always see fruit immediately, because sometimes we're too impatient And we have to invest in it over time. And we're not all the same. Every branch is unique, unlike any other. And how it grows in one place isn't the same in another. So we can't copy what someone else does and just say it's going to work here. Because with growing grapes, the trestles and the spacing between vines will vary from place to place according to where it's planted, the climate, the environment, and a whole lot of other factors, the quality of the soil. So what will work and planted here will be very different from what is there. So it is with us. However, we're connected to one another if we're connected to Jesus. And some of us have been connected and been growing for some time. Others of us are just new shoots, having only recently become connected to the vine. Maybe a few of us need some pruning to happen in our lives. With the story of a man who once dropped out of church. He figured out he could worship God just as well on his own. And a few weeks went by and the pastor came to visit him. And as they sat in the living room by the fireplace, small talk, the pastor took the tongs, he picked up a glowing ember and he placed it to one side of the fireplace. And the two men just watched it without saying a word, and in no time it began to cool. And a few minutes later, the pastor went over and he picks up the dead ember with his fingers and throws it back into the fire. Immediately it comes back to life. Without a word, the pastor says, picks up his coat and walks to the door. The man walks with him at the door to say goodbye, and he says, "That was one of your best sermons. I'll see you on Sunday." Jesus said, "I am the vine. You are the branches. He who remain in me and I in him, the same bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." We who are gathered here today come from a range of backgrounds and experiences. We have differing personalities and aptitudes and educations, cultures, languages. We're of different generations. Yet we're connected. We are connected by that same vine in Jesus. And we're to be connected to the vine 24/7. Not just when we gather on Sundays. And sometimes we fall into the trap of thinking that our service for God is only what we do on Sundays or within the church. When in reality, we are called to serve and to bear fruit in all that we do throughout the week. Not all of us are called to leave our home and serve God full-time overseas. Though some may. Not all of us are called to serve in the inner city. Though there are those who will. However, we are all called to serve full-time. And to bear fruit in our homes, in our workplaces, our study places, our social interactions. Friends, we're not here by accident. God has a plan for each of us individually and as a faith community. It is He who has planted. It is He who will prune. It is He who will provide as we bear fruit in His name. We're just going to move now to the share communion together in the light of what we've studied to look at in that passage. And we're going to come to share in the elements in the way that we used to before COVID. And we will be inviting people to self-serve the different stations we have around, spread around the church. For those who are gluten-free, we have particular provision for you down on the table here at the front. And these elements remind us of what it means to remain in Jesus and to be connected to each other in community. We all have a choice. We all have a choice to make as to who we're going to follow. The only choice that leads to salvation is to follow Jesus, to obey his commands, and to abide and to remain in Jesus means that we're all in and we're committed to following him no matter where the path leads us. So as we participate together in sharing these elements, we're confessing our loyalty to Christ. We are reaffirming our desire to remain in union with him and remain connected to the vine. The eating and the drinking of these emblems, which represent the body and the blood of Christ, symbolize his remaining in us, just as we symbolize our remaining in him through our faith and our service. We share in this table at his invitation. In recognizing that we're not sufficient in ourselves, there's a danger of being self-sufficient. And the principle that Jesus teaches us that it's not possible to render anything to God without dependence upon Christ. No person has the capacity to do anything for God in his own strength. So we come humbly. We know we're human and we're flawed and we make mistakes and we sin. But Jesus died upon that cross to enable us to come to him having that wiped away. And it's the only way we can come. But we're connected to God, with God. And we are in communion with each other for a larger purpose, a calling in the world. You did not choose me, Jesus says. I chose you. I appointed you to go and to bear fruit. So in a moment, I'm going to invite you to go to one of the tables around the room. I'm not sure your normal way you do it in the past. I wasn't here, but take a piece of bread, they're spread out, so we've tried to keep the health things safe. Grab a glass, go back to your seat. If there's anybody that's not all that mobile, how about you serve them? And when you get to your seats, just reflect for a moment what it means to be connected to the vine only because of what God has done. And then as Jesus did when he met with the disciples on that last supper, the first occasion. We're told in Matthew, that gospel, that while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it, he gave it to the disciples. Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup. And then when he'd also given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, he says, I will not drink from it through the vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. I'm going to invite you to take the bread, to take the cup, back to your seat. When you're ready, partake of the bread and drink from the cup. When I think we're finished, I'll lead us in prayer. Jesus invites us to the table.